Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning, this is Brad Culp. It's November 2nd, and this is why I live in Atlanta. It's an absolutely stunning fall day. It's about 65 degrees. The leaves are about at their peak. It's a great day. I've got Sam Grass in the studio with me, and also Trevor. Actually, Trevor has a mic today.
Hello.
All right.
How are you? Well, we have a great show this morning. How are you doing this morning, Sam?
I'm doing great. I noticed that we always start the same. You talk about the weather, and I talk about West Virginia football.
You only talk about West Virginia football when they win.
Well, but that's been quite a bit lately. So that,
you know. Well, no, two in a row I think they lost.
All right, let's move on.
Now
let's move on.
You know, Rutgers, I mean, come on. But anyway, and you know, we never have to talk to Kevin about whether Boise State wins or loses.
No, we always know the outcome before it happens.
Be humble in your victories, Kevin. Be humble in your victories.
Well, we won't say anything about the schedule that they're keeping.
Yeah, and I'm not short-sighted enough to forget the Nevada game last year, so I'm not going to say too much.
Anyway, so we've got a great show this morning. Here in Atlanta, we have two guests, Mike Bola and Nancy Vada from Heritage Life Path. Good to see you all, and thanks for being here. But first, we're going to go to Dallas with some return guests, Dan Borland and John Cowan. And Kevin, take it away.
All right. Thanks, guys. Like you said, I have Dan Borland and John Cowan joining us today. They were with us back in February, and since then, they've come up with some new presentation items and done some market research, and they just wanted to come back and kind of share with us what they found and how they are helping seniors with the various aspects of home ownership, selling, and just whatever it might be that they need to do. So let's go ahead and jump in with Dan. Give us a little bit of your background just as a kind of a refresher, and we'll go from there.
Okay, great, Kevin. Thanks for having us this morning. Again, my name is Dan Borland. I work for Coldwell Banker Apex Realtors, Coldwell Banker Brokerage in the North Dallas area. Got started and involved with the senior market a little over a year ago. From a personal standpoint, had relatives that were up in years and realized there was a need to help that age bracket with their real estate issues. They're slightly different issues than a younger person such as your age bracket, Kevin, because they're looking to move on, as the one of the terms is, from their home to an independent living community or assisted living or maybe even a memory care unit, if whatever their particular situation would dictate. So that's how I've gotten involved with the senior market. I'll let John jump in. And
thanks, Kevin. Again, John Cowan, Coldwell Banker, Apex Realtors. Dan and I both work out of the Richardson office. We've got 9 offices in the area, and senior real estate specialist. National certification that both of us have gives us some added tools and perspectives, you know, to help seniors. Less than 1% of the real estate agents in the country have that designation, and it just means that we're focused and caring enough to spend the time with our seniors and helping them through this real estate market and some of their needs, as Dan said, to try to move on. My background, 30 plus years in real estate, a little different perspective. I've been an investor. I have rental properties. I have different real estate options that I've personally used, and that's how Dan and I kind of formulated this idea to come together and work the senior needs out there and look at it from the standpoint of bringing more options to our seniors to deal with, you know, the perspective of selling their home. And so that's how we came together and feel like we've come up with something that really there is a need for out there.
Well, great. Before we came on the air, you were talking about some of the research you've done examining some of the different areas of Dallas as a whole for the past few 12-month periods, and I wanted to just kind of find out what you found and how that can help people as they make the decisions that they're making regarding their homes.
What we have found, and this is a sort of a truism in any real estate conversation I have with any age bracket, but especially the seniors, because they read the newspapers, they watch TV, they're attuned to what the media is telling them. Sometimes the media is not always correct. They paint a broad paintbrush. It's one of the last statistics that I saw from our local newspaper. The real estate market here was down 3.2%. Okay, everybody takes that to the bank. People can't see this, but I ran these numbers this morning for the whole MLS area. And yes, it's down. If you take the whole entire DFW MLS area, average sales price is $146,000. That's down 0.3% from November 10 to October 11 time frame. Back it up a year, November 9 to October 10, it was up 2.4%. We are within nearly a flat range in the entire Metroplex, or the entire MLS area, which is a large area nearly from Abilene, Texas, to nearly the Louisiana border, going all the way up to the Oklahoma Red River. We break things down into different smaller segments. We can do zip code. We can do your local area. We have run some numbers for several local zip codes, which is one smaller area than the whole MLS. And I'll let John talk about some of these areas that you need to be concerned about, because real estate is local. Zip code may even, in fact, be too large an area. You want to get it down to your neighborhood. But we're talking generalities because we don't know where, don't know everybody's address. So, John.
Yeah, Kevin, I think what has been most important for us is to help our clients, not just seniors, all of our clients, understand real estate is a localized issue. You don't look at the national picture to understand what's going on in your neighborhood. Even a zip code can be a bit misleading, you know, within that large area of what may be going on specifically in your neighborhood. So the more information we have, of course, the more accurate we can be. This is, again, just a generalization, but it is very critical to understand that it's accurate and more accurate than what we hear in the newspaper or whatever. They're taking national figures, extrapolating them out for local anyway. Some of the areas here, and Dan kind of summed it up, we have stopped the decrease, and we are not falling off the cliff, as some people may still think our market is really, you know, bad out there. We've got pockets that have increased in the Dallas-Fort Worth area 6-7%, you know, over the last year or two. Dallas historically, the DFW area, has been about a 2-3% growth per year, and that tracks back 20-plus years. So we've never been the wild swings up or the wild swings down. With that, I mean, we can talk Richardson, we can talk Garland, we can talk North Dallas, and some of them are relatively flat, but not any of these areas that we've pulled are just, you know, really continuing to drop in value. So I think, you know, again, some summarization here, some of these areas are up 1-2%, some may be down 2-3%. But again, it has to do also with the value of the home and the volume of homes that have sold in each of these year periods. We may have had some high-dollar home sale in a particular zip code that kicked that figure up. So anyway, I think the basic message today was to let people understand that the trend here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area has stabilized. The biggest concern right now is finding homes that are in good condition. Mm-hmm. And presenting those out there at a fair market price. So, Dan?
Yeah. The John was mentioning the condition of the home. A lot of the seniors, they've lived in their home maybe 40 years. And It's their home. It's their castle. But the new buyers coming in to look at the home, they want the updates. They want this. Are they willing to, if it's already done, are they willing to pay maybe, I'll say, a small premium for that? Yes. But is it worth the senior to invest that money? They're not necessarily going to get that back in return. So they need to look at how they're going to price the property based on the current condition. It's clean, it's neat, but it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, the granite, the hardwoods, new fixtures, and you can go on and on for your taste. So they price, we need to get them to understand, yes, they've lived there for you. They've done some upgrades, they've done some updates, they've remodeled, but it's still, it's a 40-year-old home, but it's still 15 years behind the times, 20 sure. years behind the times. So they have to price it accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we run into that a lot. It's getting into some stories. We're starting to get, I think we're getting a little bit off track here, get back on our seniors. We've got a lot of stories where, and I'll share one with the audience. We had a lady that wanted to move into an independent living community. She was 80 plus years old, lived in a little two bedroom, two bath patio home. She said, you know, I don't know what to do. I need help. We were referred to her by the community. We went out. John and I both told her, this is what you can do. And there's options other than just selling. I'm going to let John get into that here in a minute. But we put her house on the market, told her, make sure it's clean, because it was reasonably updated. She had redone some things 3 or 4 years ago for her own enjoyment. The kitchen, put new appliances in, this thing. She did it for enjoyment, not to sell.
Mm-hmm.
It helped sell the house because they're already done. But we put it on the market. We were able to get a little more value than what she in her mind had thought. But to facilitate the transaction where she can move, it was very easy. She was happy. The new young buyer was a first-time home buyer, a young person. It was a single young man. He didn't need a lot of space, but he needed a yard for his dogs. It had all of those features for him. But our client was able to move very easily. It worked. It was a short period of time. But here again, it was priced right for the condition in the area.
Right. Yeah, and on the other side, I've always been told when you own a home to not do so much to it that you price it too high, so that you have to recoup that money that you put into it, mm-hmm. that it prices it outside on the high end of the market. Is that something you have to be careful of as well?
Yes, in my opinion, that is absolutely correct. That there's a lot of TV shows out there that show if you do this, you increase the value. Maybe in a ideal market situation, possibly. But in the market that we're in today, which is reality, if you spend $50,000, $60,000 redoing the kitchen, are you necessarily going to get that back today? Not in our market.
Right.
So you have to be very aware of what you do. My advice to seniors or anybody, if you're going to redo, do it for your own enjoyment. That's first. Not based on increase of the value. Features benefit, will the redo help sell the property? Sure it will. But it's not going to necessarily put more money in your pocket.
Sure.
So that's what we see, but that's a truism for any age bracket mm-hmm. on real estate that way. The main thing for the seniors that we see is their home is their castle, and rightly so. They've lived there, like I said earlier, for 40 years or, you know, a long period of time. They've raised the kids, the grandkids. There is emotions tied into the home. And here again, they should be. But once they have made that decision, for whatever reason, that's when we come in to try and help facilitate their move. And moving on. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the folks may want to move. Maybe the home has become a burden. They don't want to worry about maintenance anymore. You know, maybe there's a health issue. They need assistance. They can't stay by themselves. They're not physically able to. Or maybe the mom and dad want to move out of the area, be closer to the kids, where right. they're either way coming into the area or moving out. That's a reason why they may want to sell or sell, lease, whatever. And we'll get into that here in a minute. Maybe there's just flat financial concerns. And then one other, another thing, support services. Sort of gets into the health issue, but maybe they just need assistance. Mm-hmm. As we all do as we age and mature, So that, there's a lot of small little things that go into the decision-making process that the seniors have to make.
Yeah, and I heard you mention the lease option, and before we came on the air, we were talking about some of the different options, leases, reverse mortgages. So, John, you were the one talking about that, so I'll jump over to you. What are some things that people need to consider about those other options, and some things maybe they need to be concerned about before they make a decision?
Let me say, Kevin, we talk to our clients and tell them we have three ways to assist the client in getting out of their home and moving on, as Dan says, to wherever their needs present. One would be what we like to say simply is a conventional sale. A willing buyer, willing seller, they get a loan approved, and the sale happens, everyone's happy. We can still do that. That's the traditional way of selling a home. We in this market may have to adjust the price based on the condition of the home and our market accordingly. When we don't have that opportunity, when it's a situation where the seller needs a certain amount of money, either to pay off an existing mortgage or to move on, if they feel that they can't sell it at a lower price, is there another way for us to try to help them? That's where these other ideas came to play. If we were to consider a lease on their home, allowing them to move out of their home, letting a property management company come in and handle everything, and they actually have a revenue source coming in off that home. That has been a solution for some of our seniors and actually gave them incoming, revenue, offset the taxes, the expenses on the home to maintain it, yet they were able to move on and not have the responsibility of doing it themselves. They also didn't have to worry about selling today. They could bridge to a longer period of time, wait another year, and see how it looks in their neighborhood at that time. That's an option to consider. Again, taking the responsibility of property management off of them and let a company come in and handle that, we can help them understand what those options are. A third option we like to suggest is, a lot of our seniors have been in their home a long period of time. They have no mortgage left. They've paid their homes off. They're in an excellent position, not that they necessarily want to be the bank, but they can be the bank. And in today's market, where it's so difficult for a lot of our buyers to qualify, having that option is a wonderful, situation for both parties. One of our clients just indicated last week that she really thinks, now that we've had our home on the market for a couple of months, we've had several showings, nothing has come to contract, she needed to go ahead and make her move to Colorado, out of state. And she said, John, I really wanted to consider the owner financing option that you presented. And the reason is, I was going to take those funds and not need them on a day-by-day basis. I was going to put it in the bank. And at 1.5% on my CD, the owner financing sounded very attractive to me. So again, there's no magic pill here for everyone. Another option that's hanging out there are reverse mortgages. And Dan and I have a case at the moment that is a bit sad, but it's a situation where someone made a decision maybe without guidance and made a decision to go ahead and tie her property up with a reverse mortgage. And that is what it does. It ties your property up. And so we now are trying to help her to see if there's a way to unwind that. So again, Dan and I are simply wanting to visit with our clients and help them understand beforehand some options to consider. And there are several, and that's what's important.
Yeah. Well, we're running a little bit short on time, so I guess the way we should end this is if you could give one last final piece of advice to seniors who are in a situation where they're looking for options with a home, what would you tell them?
I would very simply call John or myself. We'll sit down. We'll talk to you from a consulting standpoint. We don't expect any money because we don't get paid till the transaction closes. But what's the right thing for you? Everybody's situation is different. But whether you talk to me or John, talk to a realtor. The realtors have the real numbers. I'll close with this analogy. If you get sick, you're going to a doctor. If you have a legal issue, you're going to an attorney. If you have a tax issue, you're going to a CPA or an accountant. If you have a real estate question or issue, go to a realtor. That's what we're there for. We're there to give you advice as to what's best for you in your particular situation, not a broad paintbrush.
Yeah, that's great. How about some contact information for each of you so our listeners, if they want, can give you a call, send you an email, visit a website?
Sure. Again, my name is Dan Borland. I'm with Coldwell Banker Apex Realtors. The best number to reach me is my mobile number, and that is 469-878-6391. And my email is very simple. It's my name, dan@danborland.com. And that's my website also. It's www.danborland.com.
All right, John?
John Cowan, C-O-W-A-N. My direct office line, 972-231-0363. And website, jcowanproperties.com. And give Dan and I a call. Again, we're senior real estate specialists, and we're here to help our seniors understand and be focused in on their needs. That's the bottom line.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll send it back to the guys in Atlanta.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Joining us today from Heritage Life Path is Mike Bola and Nancy Balta. Good morning, lady and gentlemen. How
good
are you
morning.
Today?
Thanks, Sam.
Mike has been working with veterans for probably 10 years. Is that correct,
A little
Mike?
Over 10 years, yeah.
That's good. And since we're coming up on Veterans Day, we certainly want to have some shows that highlight or bring recognition to our veterans. So we welcome you and Nancy today. Thanks for being our guest. Mike, why don't we begin by you telling us a little bit about yourself. Where you're from, what have you done in previous professions, and how did you get with Heritage Life Path?
Well, I actually grew up in a small town outside of Pittsburgh. I'm a Penn State grad.
Oh, boy.
So I heard West Virginia. I says, known. Well, yeah, we had a good time with West Virginia most of the time.
I should have known.
But basically what happened back in 1999, Sam, that my father qualified for veterans benefits, and I kind of jumped into the foray trying to get the benefits for him. And it was very difficult at the time. It was hard to get information. And it took me about 14 months to get him the benefit. And we finally did get it. And the VA was very cooperative. But at that point, I didn't really like the process that much. But I had some pastors at a church I went to ask me if I would help veterans qualify for the benefit. So I really kind of jumped in and tried to look at the VA regulations and try to develop a much smoother, you know, methodology than I had to use. And over the years, it's really worked well. I mean, most veterans now, we help them, you know, put in for their benefits. Typically takes about 3 to 4 or 5 months now. So it's really paid off the information that I've learned to try to help veterans get these benefits.
And tell us a little bit, let's give a little background to our listening audience. What benefits are we speaking of? What's available? I mean, obviously you can't speak to all of them, but give us a high-level view of that.
Well, the benefit that we work with the most is one called improved pension. It's the benefit for veterans and their widows. Veterans, basically, that are over 65, and they want help from the VA in providing long-term care costs or offsetting long-term care costs. It could be home care, that could be assisted care, that could be nursing home care. And the VA has some really great programs for helping people pay for these things, but the benefits aren't very well advertised. And even people out there that are trying to help veterans get it, they really don't know the regulations well enough I'll often get calls from people that have been waiting 15 months and 12 months. And what we found out, it's very important to put together the packet for the VA in a particular way so that they can see it and they can quickly move on it.
I know from my experience that the paperwork for the VA benefits is very extensive. That's probably politically saying it mildly. Tell us about that process and how do you kind of plug into that picture?
Well, I mean, the VA overall is a great organization, I think, but they have to get a lot of information because they have to figure out if you do qualify or not. And so, unfortunately, there's a lot of paperwork involved. And I think what happens most of the time is that when families go for this benefit, Sam, they're in a period of time where they're really not thinking straight. Their parents might have just taken a fall, or they might have, you know, maybe the onset of dementia or something like that. And so they're really in a panic state. And what the mistake most people make is they want to rush their application into the VA. Oftentimes, one of the things we have to tell them is to slow down, take a breath, let's get all the documents together. Because the real key, Sam, is when that VA processor opens that file, you want them to have everything there. Because if something's missing, it's probably going to take them a few months to get back to you and a few months for you to return it. You've probably added 4 to 5 months to the application. So we pretty much tell people to slow down. Let's put it together. You know, they'll want to get it in 2 days. I said, let's put it together over 3 weeks. So when the VA gets it, they're saying, we can approve this. And I think in the end, most people appreciate that. And that's one of the reasons I think we can pull the processing time down.
You, we spoke earlier a week or so ago, and you painted this visual picture for me about a stack of files on someone's desk. Tell us about that and what happens when a file shows up and doesn't have all the information in it.
Well, picture a desk. You know, and of course, this is fictitious, but basically what happens is you're going to have a desk, and when a file comes in, you're going to have the type of file, Sam, they can look at it and say, everything's here, let's move ahead. You have the other stack of files where something's missing, and it's going to go into a large stack. And what tended to happen at the other places that I worked with was, you know, that stack gets pretty high before they bring some extra people in to get these done. So that's why I've seen two people send in applications at the same time. I've seen one get approved in 6 weeks and one take 18 months. You know, and so what happens is I tell them, when they come to us, let's put the packet together correctly. Like I said, slow down. Let's put it together. I've been doing this for so long that I know exactly. I mean, I believe I know exactly what the VA wants. So that's really the most important thing is to walk people through the process, because they will come in all flustered. You know, they'll talk about, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. And we try to go over not just VA benefits, but tax benefits. There's valuable tax benefits you can use. We don't have time to go over all that stuff today, but we kind of take them through the whole path of how they can try to pay for long-term care benefits. The VA benefit's just a great one to start with.
I also know from our earlier conversation that you've been, as you said, as we began the show, been doing this for better than 10 years, but you had a recent change in your company in the name. Talk to us and tell us about that.
Yeah, up to this point, yeah, I mean, you had to have a name. Early on, it was just me. And then we started an organization called Veterans Care Consultants that we really worked with for about almost 9 years. And what tended to happen, though, was that as the number of people that needed help went up, everybody wanted to talk just to me, and it got sort of impossible. So we brought some new people into the fold, and we changed the company name to one called Heritage Life Path. We actually picked that name because what we find is happening right now is that typically there's one or two people, children in the family, that have to sort of take over the mantle of leadership mm-hmm. for the family when the father gets older. And that's where the name Heritage Life Path comes in. Because most of the time, I won't be working with the veteran. I'll be working with his son or daughter. Mm-hmm. There's always usually a type A child, you know, and they're 45 to 65 years old, and they're really taking the mantle of leadership for the family. And so one of the things we're trying to do is aid them in that. As you guys see, I mean, it's a wild thing. All of a sudden, your parent
becomes the child.
Many times. Yeah. Many times. Or if not that, at least the mantle of leadership changes. So you have the next generation. And so really what our company's trying to do right now is try to get all the information into that child's hands so they can take care of long-term care and daycare and all the different things and have quality companies like yours where they can contact to help them out.
Now, I see on your card, your email address here, that you're a .org. Are you a nonprofit organization?
Yeah, we don't charge anything, so we don't try to make a profit. So yeah, we don't. People that work for us never pay a fee.
So, how are you funded then?
Well, I'm a veteran myself. We're all volunteers. Okay, so basically, we don't need funding. We volunteer our time, and so we typically go out to the veteran's house and, you know, help them go through the paperwork. Everybody wants different levels of help, Brad, basically. We have some people that just want information over the phone. They're going to fill out the app themselves. I don't usually recommend that, but some people want to do that. What we usually recommend is the family member, whoever's going to be the lead person in filling out the application, comes in, and we sit down and work with them to do that. So they're doing a lot of the work themselves. So we sort of guide them through.
So you must have a waiting list.
No, actually, you know, technology has allowed us to really do a lot of things I couldn't do 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I had a huge waiting list. Now, I mean, we can usually get an application out 2 to 3 weeks. And usually it's not us holding up. It's the doctor's statement. It's things like that. So because of the technology we use and different things that we do, so far we don't have a waiting list.
Mm. Now you got me curious. You said you're a veteran, so tell me about your service.
Well, actually, I was in the Army. I was at Penn State, and it was back at the time when they took the Iranian embassy. And so basically me and three of my friends, we joined. Hmm. And, of course, you know, Ronald Reagan came in, and they released everybody, and I did my time and got out. Two of my friends actually stayed in. Hmm. So it was a time of sort of crisis. I mean, a whole bunch of people at Penn State joined that day.
Right.
And you remember the helicopter crashing and all that. That was really terrible. And so, you know, I spent my time in the military, and I enjoyed it. And I almost went back in the Air Force as a pilot, but decided to get married instead, so I didn't do that.
Great.
Why don't you tell our listeners, if they call, how does the process begin? What are the first things that you're looking for to get the process begin?
We actually have a packet of information we think works best. What we do is we mail it out to everybody who asks. And it sort of Sam lets them know that how to gather their documents, what the VA is going to ask for. Do you qualify? I usually do a telephone conversation with folks. One of the things that's a problem with this benefit is they call it improved pension. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people think it's just a pension, and it's not. It's actually based on health care expense. So I'll get people calling me that absolutely don't qualify right now. But the interesting thing is probably eventually, you know, this sounds crass, but I tell everybody, you're either going to pass away or eventually qualify for this benefit. So even if somebody doesn't qualify, I want them to have all the information. Because I'll often get calls from people that say, I could have qualified 5 years ago, and we don't want that, Brad, to happen anymore. So what happens is I want them to have all the information so they know the second they qualify to come back and get a hold of us. So when somebody calls, I mail them out the packet, and they put together the information they need, and then we assist them at putting the application together.
Okay. Is this benefit only for the veteran, him or herself, or is it for other individuals within the family possibly?
Yeah, a spouse, you can actually get extra money if you're married, and if the veteran's passed away, there's a widow's benefit. It's less money, but it comes in handy for most folks. So really, that's what we question them on the phone, you know, because you want to, because honestly, people call up and there are 80% of the calls, you can tell in their voice, there's a lot of stress there. Yeah. It's usually something just happened. Mother fell or something happened to father. So it's really calming them down and talking to them, you know, let them know what we'll need. And then it's sending out the booklet so they can start to put it together. They have our phone number so they can call with any questions. And then when they're done with booklet, they either come into our office or they mail it back, and then we help them start the process of filling out the application.
And do you focus just on aid and attendance, or do you help them evaluate other potential benefits through the VA?
Yeah, we do. We do pretty much everything. Now, we work with some of the people at the VFW. There's people over there that we use for what they call compensation cases. That's service-related. Much harder to prove, much harder to get. That's when you're saying that you want to apply for disability because of something that happened mm-hmm. in the military. But we can help them. Anything, we're far enough along right now, Brad, that anything we can't handle, we can get them to the people that can. Mm-hmm. We have quite a network. Even people that need durable medical equipment, different things that they need, we can direct them, you know, to the right people at that point.
Let me go back for our listeners, and I want to emphasize a point, Mike, that you made. These are veterans benefits, and spouse. So keep in mind that the spouse has a benefit. But your services are free,
yes.
Basically. And anyone who wants to try to fight this fight with the Veterans Administration certainly is welcome. But I got to tell you, I've talked to enough people that individuals like Mike are just a valuable tool. And as I said, he knows how to handle it. He knows the people to contact at Veterans Administration. I think that's the beauty of the relationship.
Well, it's sort of like with any profession or anything you do. You know, I've done it so many times, it's second nature to me. When somebody first grabs these forms, it's bizarre. It'd be like me trying to fix my own car. It's, you know, so no matter what you're doing, even if, you know, if you're going to the IRS, if you're dealing with taxes, you know, people that try to take on the IRS themselves, I don't recommend it. You need somebody who knows what they're talking about, or those people will eat you up. The veterans, the VA is a great organization, don't get me wrong, but if you don't know what you're talking about, they might not even understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So what happens is they're confused, you're confused. I think what we do is we're sort of a good partition between you and the VA. And I think we'll help you put it together so the VA knows exactly what you're asking them to do. And if you don't, there could be some real confusion there.
Yeah, that what you said, and I found this, most of the listeners know that I come out of the insurance industry, and there's a special language that
Absolutely.
Is used within that industry that's unique to that industry. And the terms within an industry mean something different than they mean to the lay. And I'm sure with the Veterans Administration, if you don't ask the right question using the correct words, you get a different response.
Well, people will get frustrated with the VA because the VA doesn't really know what you're trying to say. And I'll have people call me up all the time saying the VA is this and the VA is that. And I try to tell them, no, it's a great organization. You just didn't read the right form, or you didn't, you know. And they'll say, well, why didn't they tell me? Well, there's so many forms, and for them to try to understand, you know, and plus it's tough to get through to the VA sometimes. I've had people say they waited 45 minutes before they get through. So it's really just smoothing that out. It's sort of introducing them to the VA, how the VA works. And once you understand it and you have some help, you'll see the VA is a pretty great organization, I think.
Mike, obviously you have a passion for what you're doing. Why do you do it? I mean, what do you get out of this?
If you see the reaction of the family, it's quite a thing, Sam. You have people that come in and they don't know how they're going to pay for things, and they don't know what to do, and who should I get for home care, and who should I do? I mean, and when you take them step by step through the process, which can take 3 to 4 weeks, to see them come out the other side knowing, you know, we can pay for this now, we're not going to lose everything. I mean, there's people out there that still believe that if their father runs up a bill on Medicaid, that the kids are responsible. I mean, it's just being able to give them the proper information and calm them down and get them to a state where they can better care for their parents. Because when you're in that wild state and your mom just fell, you can actually do more harm than good. And plus, it's a myriad of stuff, Sam. I walk into houses where, you know, the veteran's 82 and his wife's 80 and she's trying to pick him up. And, yeah, I can take care of my husband. You know, the myriad of stuff you go through, people just sort of want somebody they can call when they're when they're going through that, so they have the information they need that they can live their lives, you know. So, you know, when you have somebody that's 55 years old or 60 years old, they're still working, they have to take care of their parents, they have to take care of their kids are in college. Until you go through that, you have no idea what that does to you. So it's that's really why we love to do it. It's the calming effect, and I think we've done a lot of good out there for folks.
I'm going to ask a question off the top of my head from memory, and Brad knows how old I am, so this I could get this wrong. Did you not tell me that you are working with the VFWs, and there's a special program or process that you have with them?
Yeah, I mean, we started working with a few of the VFW posts to get them the information they need. They typically have service officers, accredited service officers, help people with benefits. And really what we do is we help get the service officers information that they would need to help their transition smoother. And it's worked out very well so far. And so through the VFW and through some other places, we're actually giving them some information and processes on how to get because they're all volunteers too. A lot of them still have jobs. Some of them are retired. So we sort of team up with them to help the transition between the people in the VA also. And it's worked out so far very well.
Now, what part of Metro Atlanta or Georgia do you serve?
Really, I'll tell you what, we we get calls from other states now. We do everywhere. I mean, I just help somebody in Texas get theirs. So because of technology, I mean, we will physically go probably from as high as around Cleveland, Georgia, down mm-hmm. to Peachtree City to Marietta. That's sort of our triangle. But even outside that, we will, over the phone, counsel people on how to get it through. And that's worked very well. We mail them out. You know, we scan things and send it to them. So we can work with people anywhere. But as far as going out to see them, that triangle inside of Atlanta is pretty much what we cover.
Well, that's great information. I really appreciate you kicking off this, what I'll call Veterans Day holiday, a couple of weeks early. But we want to try to do some things special beforehand. Mike, for the listeners out there who have a veteran or a loved one that is a veteran and they just don't know where to begin, what piece of advice might you give them as they start this?
Well, the biggest thing is to get the proper documents, and there's a lot of them, and to start putting the information together. The biggest thing I tell people is to keep a cool head as much as you can. If you do rush the application in, the biggest mistake I've seen is if you rush the application into the VA, I almost guarantee you you'll leave something off and you'll extend the amount of time it takes to get approved. So the biggest thing I would tell you to do is if you can get somebody to work with, do that, please. Try to keep a cool, calm head about you. The world's not going to end, trust me. We've helped thousands of families get through this process. So it's really just calm down. Let's put the figures together. Let's put everything together and get everybody on the same page. Because oftentimes you have four or five kids. They don't agree, Sam. I've walked in the middle of some quite heated arguments about how we're going to take care of dad. And a lot of times you end up being a counselor. Yeah. You'll sit down there and you'll go over with the kids. And it's really getting rid of the anxiety. So, you know, calming them down, getting through the anxiety, let them know it's not the end of the world, and start to put the documents together.
That's great. I also want to bring to our listeners' attention that though you specialize in VA benefits, you are really about the proper care at the right time for the client. So we want to remind our listeners that Mike is a veteran. He specializes there, but it's the whole spectrum of what is right for the individual at a given time.
Yeah, I mean, one of the mistakes I think people make is they tend to settle. And what I mean by settling is they will want to get care for their parents, but they'll settle for what is easily seen. And you'll find out the more you dig, the more information you get, I think the more comfortable you can make your parents be. You know, there's a lot of different options. You know, some people want to go to assisted living where maybe independent living with a home care person would work better. So it's really digging and finding out what they really want instead of just looking at a bunch of what they can do. It's sitting with the family and say, what would make you the most comfortable? What would make your father the most comfortable? And it's asking them questions. I mean, I've been with families where they never even asked dad. Mm-hmm. They're just, well, I think dad's going off to assisted living. Well, nothing wrong with assisted living. Sometimes there's some great assisted livings in Atlanta, but you know, you got to sit down with dad and say, dad, what would you like?
Yeah.
Because I would tell you this, Sam, most of the time, I can't say all the time, most of the time you can match up what dad wants and you can find a way to pay for it and the feds will help, but you got to talk the federal language. Yeah. And so if you put all those things together, I can't remember the last time we couldn't figure out an answer.
That's great. That's great. Mike, for the listeners that want to reach you, want to reach out to Heritage Life Path, how can they do that?
Well, let me give you our phone number, which is 678-602-9559. You can call up if you need help or if you just want to have information or you just want to know where to mail packets or any kind of information you need, you can call there. We also have an email address, which is info@heritagelifepath.org. And you can email us any questions or anything you want us to do, and we'll get back to you as fast as we can and try to help you get through that process.
Well, that's great. We certainly, once again, thank you for being our guest. It's great information.
Thanks a lot, Sam. We appreciate being here.
Well, that's it for today. We want to remind our we want to thank our guest in Dallas as well as Mike and Nancy for joining us here in Atlanta. And we want to remind our listeners that if they want to revisit the broadcast, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And as we always close, if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.